Joining us now, he is the event director for the PGA show coming up at the end of this month. Mark Simon joins us. Welcome in, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So lots of people going to be showing up in Orlando, lots of vendors, lots of industry leaders. I'm seeing 40,000 people, 74 countries. Just a little show, isn't it?
Yeah, not to correct you right off the bat, but last year we actually attracted people from over 90 countries. So we're really excited and we're gearing up in a big way.
So, I mean, does preparation for the following year really begin just as the guys are sweeping out the convention center from the previous show?
Yeah, it actually begins well before that. So we're actually, believe it or not, working on the 2018 event as we speak. So a lot of the initial groundwork is laid probably about 18 months before the show. So we're absolutely in crunch time, though, for this upcoming show. But again, it takes more than a year to put something this large together, believe it or not.
Well, we've been down, and we come down every year, and we've broadcast live from the lobby out there, and it's been a lot of fun, and we enjoy it, and we know the value of it. A lot of our listeners, they're sitting around the Carolinas or in our affiliates around the country, and they hear about the PGA show, and they think of it as an industry thing, and they hear that maybe their home country club is paying for their pro to go down to this thing. Why is the PGA show important for golf?
So a number of reasons. It actually, you know, it really kicks off the season. It's the first big high-profile event in January before kind of the tour schedule really gets underway. So it's a kind of nice start to the season. It really drives the business of golf forward. For those pros who are coming from areas where their shops are closed, you know, from the Northeast, Midwest, and it sounds like with the snow you guys had, North Carolina as well, it's a great way for them to kind of preview what's to come, to see all the new product, to connect with their, you know, their colleagues in the industry, and really to see what's going to be new, hot, and what's going to be generating buzz for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys get a lot, and like you said, you're already planning a show ahead, so I'm sure you get a lot of people that are kind of testing the waters. Mike and I love to go through the new product area that you guys kind of put out there. Several years ago, you put out, you know, where all these new vendors come in, all these new products, and do you always have people pinging you saying, you know, what's it going to take for me to get in there, or what do I need to do? And that seems to be kind of a big draw. I mean, you look at maybe the poster child for something like that is a loudmouth golf who started out with probably like a rack of pants, and now they're one of the bigger presenters at the show.
Yeah, I mean, what's been gratifying with this, I mean, I grew up in the golf industry. I'm really passionate about golf. I've been with the show for close to 20 years now, and what's really gratifying is really seeing that, you know, that small upstart company that starts out in a 10x10, has one or two products, and, you know, 10 or 15 years later to see them with a larger space and to really, you know, to help them to become and to partner with them on becoming a really much bigger company. So yeah, I think it's a combination of the new companies, like you mentioned, and the new product zone. We actually have an inventor spotlight where you can come in with one product. And then, you know, from the big brands as well, there's a lot of major product launches this year. There's a lot of new products. So whether it's the small new company or the large company that's launching a new driver, it's kind of, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the inventors area and the single product lines, and you look at this stuff and you go, man, I wish I thought of that. And then you look at other things and you go, why did anyone think of that? You know, it's like Shark Tank, but in person, and you're looking at it and thinking, okay, this guy's brilliant. This guy probably didn't get enough oxygen in the womb. I'm curious. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's funny that you talked about that, because we actually try to kind of predict going into the show. And I'm not going to talk about specific companies or products, but which of those kind of new launches and inventor type products are going to do well. And, you know, unfortunately, our team usually doesn't get it right. So what we think is going to bomb sometimes is a big success and vice versa.
Yeah,
that's why it's that important to get out there in front of so many people so you can get that feedback on your product.
Yeah, you just never know what's going to resonate. And, when I went down the first time, I was really floored by the scale of it. I mean, not the first time I went down, but I think 2 years ago, somebody had a full-size armored tank as part of their presentation. So if you're listening to us and you're thinking of this like the Southern Christmas show, no. This is on a whole different level. You know, you've got simulators going and people hitting golf balls, and you've got, you know, basically entire retail stores. I mean, how large a space is a single company able to occupy if they're willing to pay for it?
You know, the maximum that anyone can have is about 9,000 square feet per brand.
Wow.
But, you know, you mentioned it. It runs the gamut from the small 10x10s all the way to the, you know, the Under Armours, the Callaways, the Titleists, all the top brands, both in apparel and equipment. that really take these huge spaces and they create really interesting, unique environments. So when you go into their space, you're forgetting you're at the show, and it's a brand experience for you.
So is PXG ready to take Nike's space?
Time will tell.
Yeah. That's a very, I mean, PXG is an interesting story as it relates to you guys. So is Under Armour. I mean, you know, Under Armour, when those guys came in and had, you know, in lacrosse and had, golf was the last thing on their minds. And now their market share continues to grow. And part of the way they do that is by getting out there and being trendy and having, you know, golf professionals from around the country come see that their stuff is maybe cooler than someone else's stuff.
It could be that, and it's really, I think it's really the mix of products. So you have some, you know, some regions of the country, some demographics are really into the trendy and maybe cutting edge type apparel. But then there's also, again, a more traditional company or more traditional product that might resonate with a different area of the country or a different age demographic. So it really runs the gamut from all types, all trends, big and small, and you guys have been there. It's an overwhelming experience, even if you've been going for 20 years.
Yeah, and again, we're talking with Mark Simon of the PGA Show. He's the event director. We'll be heading down there down in the end of the month. And, for me, too, demo day on Tuesday is one of the great things. I mean, a 360-degree range. You get to go out and hit all these things. Then you get to come and talk to these guys. It's amazing not only to see the equipment, whether it's at demo day or inside the merchandise show, but where the electronic stuff has gone. All of the flight scopes and the TrackMans and all of the technology, all the wearables that everybody has. It's amazing to see how that has exploded over the past few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the evolution of the ball flight analysis to some of the cutting-edge simulators that they have, and really that's one of the highlights this year is just seeing the technology. And again, not just in terms of simulators or ball flight analysis or custom fitting, but even in non-equipment type products or non-tracking type products. So technology is ever-pervasive, and it's really a focus of ours. And I think you're going to be surprised by some of the cool innovations you've seen this year.
Yeah, and the other thing that always surprises me too is when you start talking about apparel. I mean, one of the things that I like to do is I go to one side of the show, and I start at one end, and I basically snake my way, and I see every single company. Whether I stop and talk to them is one thing, but I make sure I go by every single booth, and it always amazes me the number of apparel companies. Does it amaze you the number of these types of companies that are out there, and how many new companies you get every year?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I applaud you on working the show that way, because that's a great way to work it. Going aisle to aisle and booth to booth, and it's amazing. I mean, you're probably walking close to, 15 miles from one end to the other to actually do that. But, yeah, I mean, apparel and apparel accessories have really come on strong in the last few years and now take up almost more than a third of the show floor. So absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, my approach is a little more circuitous, like a blind dog in a meat house. I don't know how many thousands of miles I walk, but it's just a shiny object, and I go over to that.
You keep sniffing?
Yes, it's a constant state of distraction. I'm curious if you can think of any examples of somebody who maybe one year came in and was looking for, 2,500 square feet, and then all of a sudden the next year their application comes in and they're one of the companies looking for 6,000-8,000 square feet, and you knew right then they were getting ready to make a huge splash.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to, I don't necessarily like to talk about specific brands, but one example from many, many years ago was OGO, way back when they came out. And, they went from a 10x10 in year one to a 20x20 to, well, like you said, over 2,500 feet over a span of like 3 years. And you kind of know their history. So there's so many stories like that. And it's really gratifying to see that and to help work with businesses to help them grow.
All right, then it's just for sort of an organizational discussion of what it takes to put on an event of this size. When it's all done and they're starting to sweep the floors, do you ever look back at something and go, okay, we need to fix that next year? And then that same thing goes wrong that next year and it never gets fixed. Is there one of those things? Because I've got those all over. My whole life is littered with those. Like, okay, I will not do that again. And then I do it again. It's like hot stove. You got any of those?
I mean, anybody in the events business knows that that happens. I mean, we do a very detailed kind of follow-up after the show going through items like that. And, I'm not going to talk about maybe specific examples, but every year there's something like, with an event this big, you're not going to have everything perfect. It's learning from what didn't go right the previous year and then just trying to do it better the next year. And we have, you know, the success of the show is really based on the team that we have. It's based on our collaboration with the PGA of America. And it's based on all the PGA professionals in the golf industry. Everybody's really passionate about this industry. They want it to grow. This show is important to driving commerce, to growing the game. And I think it's really the people, not only within our organization, but everybody that kind of comes together. It's media like yourselves that really care and are passionate that make this show really what it is.
All right, so before we let you go, I got to ask you, how fun / hard is it to run an indoor driving range?
that's a great question. I mean, I'll speak honestly here because, again, my dad was a golf coach. He used to attend the show many, many years and kind of be able to test all the equipment. Since we're working, it's very rare that you'll actually, maybe at the end of the day, I might sneak over there and, you know, hit some balls or maybe a demo day. But it's actually very frustrating not being able to test and to try all the new equipment.
Yeah.
And one of these years, I'd love to just go and kind of enjoy the show and not be working it. I don't know when that'll be, but that, you know, maybe the year before I retire.
All right. Well, Mark, the dates are January 24th through 27th. Where can our listeners go to learn more information?
Yep, go to pgashow.com. I also want to point out, obviously, they can listen to great radio shows like yours. Also, Golf Channel offers live coverage of the show. So they're going to have 3 hours plus each day. That's both a demo day on the 24th and also January 25th through the 27th as well.
Awesome. Well, Mark Rand, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Look forward to a great show down there, and good luck planning 2018.
Thanks, Mike and Mark, and definitely stop by, and I'll be sure to look for you guys and hope that snow melts quick and you get to enjoy the show and have some warm weather down in Orlando.